last Sunday night, I talked to you some about some things from the book of Acts, chapter number 3. And I'm not going to be too far from what we preached about last Sunday night, because I do believe that there's a message in that. And there's not only a message, but I believe there's a revelation in that. And I was talking about the lame man that was set at the gate. The Bible said a certain man from a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, and they lay daily at the gate that was called Beautiful. And it was there that he asked alms. And it was there that the Apostle Peter and John came by him one day and said, "Look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And, of course, some things that we pointed out last Sunday night was the fact that the needs in your life never change until the real need is met. Amen. He needed alms. Every time he went to the temple, he needed alms until his real need was met. And when his real need was met, he didn't need alms any longer. He could go give alms to somebody else. He could make it on his own. Praise the Lord. And I want to tell you tonight that I believe, and I made this statement, I used this term last week, that we need a paradigm shift. We need a change in our paradigm. And the word paradigm, somebody said that's 20 cents. That's not 20 cents. A paradigm is a mindset. It's how you see things. It's how you've been conditioned to see things. It's how you view the world around you. That's what the word paradigm means. And so what I was preaching last Sunday was the fact that this man in reality needed a paradigm shift. He needed a change in his mindset. All of his life he had been carried to that gate. All of his life he had been set at the Beautiful gate, and he had been asking alms. And whenever Peter and John came to him, they had to actually instruct him, "Look on us." In other words, lift your eyes up. It seems evident to me that he had his hand outstretched, his cup outstretched, but his eyes were looking down. He had a beggar mentality. He had the mentality of a man that had always been in the same state, and he needed a change of mind. He needed a different paradigm. He needed to see himself in a different light. And I still believe that tonight, church, that we in our time have to have paradigm shifts. We have to have our mindsets that sometimes we're conditioned to think in. Things that we have been conditioned by life. We have been conditioned by circumstances. We have been conditioned by the world around us to think in a certain way. And we need to change that paradigm and begin to see things from a different perspective. Whose perspective ought we to be looking through? That's God's perspective. How God sees things. With men, these things are impossible. But with God, these things are possible. All things are possible. With men, when you're standing with men and you're seeing things through the paradigm of the flesh and carnality, you see it as impossible. But with God, and when you are standing with Him and you get His paradigm, you see things from His point of view, suddenly everything becomes possible. Come on now. Hallelujah. Revival becomes possible. Miracles become possible. Holy Ghost outpouring becomes possible. Amen. I believe that, church. Amen. I was driving down the road the other day, and I was listening to someone on the radio, and they were talking about the immigration debate. And this particular person was making reference to an article that had been written about immigrants. And specifically, they were targeting in their little essay they had written, their column, their article, the Mexican immigrants from Mexico. And this individual made this statement. He said, first generation immigrants, and this is not political statements here tonight. I'm just pointing out something that someone said in relation to the debate. And they said, first generation immigrants are comparing everything in America to where they came from. They're looking back to where they came from, and they are comparing their opportunities with what they did not have whenever they were in their other country or their native land. But they went on to say that second generation immigrants, children that are born to first generation immigrants, are looking at other Americans and what they have and comparing where they are with what others have. Now, first generation is comparing where they are with where they came from. And second generation doesn't have that knowledge. All they're doing is looking around to see what others have that they may not have at that point in time. They don't have the knowledge of what it was like where they came from. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. Amen. And as I heard that, I thought, God, that's so true, even in the church, that first generation converts know what the world was like. They know what sin did to them. They know the wickedness that they were involved in. They know what God delivered them from. They know how God set them free. They know where God brought them from. They know the depths of sin that they were in. Sometimes second generation Pentecostals don't have that knowledge. And they don't need that knowledge. I'm just going to tell you now, they don't need that knowledge. You don't need to go out in the world to find out what the world is like, or to find out how blessed you are where you are. Woo! Hallelujah! Sometimes you don't have to go out in the world and sin to find out how good it is to be in the church. You don't have to go back out there and discover the lewdness and the vileness and the ungodliness of the world that we live in to understand that the church is the greatest thing that a man or a woman can become part of. Hallelujah! 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 They said, they made the statement that the reason why that many of them get involved in gang activity and these various kinds of criminal enterprises and whatever it is because they don't stop to realize the opportunity that they have before them. And they are doing nothing more than comparing where they are with where others are in a better place than what they are in. And they don't realize, I've got the opportunity to be there. I've come to tell you tonight, you can have in God whatever you want to have. There is no limitations to where you can go in God. No limitations. Praise the Lord. We've got some young people here tonight that have recently received the Holy Ghost. And they know where they've come from. And they know what God has done for them in their life. And they understand what a world of sin is all about. Come on, church. And I watch them even tonight as they're reading. Hallelujah. You know why? Because they're comparing what they are feeling right now. They're comparing the experience that they're having and what they're receiving with where they came from. And what they're saying is, this is a whole lot better than where I came from. This is greater than what I ever had in the world. I have peace. I have joy. I have contentment. I've got something I've never had in my life. And I'm thinking, oh God, let our second generation get a revelation of how good God is, of how great His presence is, of how good the Holy Ghost is. I can't help this tonight, church. This thing's got a hold of me and my spirit. We need a paradigm change. We need a mindset change. We need to realize God's got more for us than what we'll ever have in all of our lives. Oh, glory to God. Let's praise Him. Everybody in the house. Come on. Come on. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Somebody shout aloud. Clap your hands. All you people shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Come on. You don't have to be defeated. I don't care what the devil says. You don't have to be defeated. Second generation, third generation, wake up, wake up. You're in a better place than you could ever be in the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Bless the name of the Lord. I love you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The implication in the debate, or the implication in the column, was simply this: that second generation immigrants, children born to immigrants, are looking at the life that their parents have had to live, the struggle, the day in and day out working, long hours, the battle, amen, the fight, everything to be able to somehow achieve something in life. Oh, praise the Lord. And the second generation has looked at them and said, hey, amen, I don't know if it's worth it or not. But mom and dad said, if you just knew where we came from, if you knew how many nights we went to bed hungry, if you knew how many days that we went without, if you knew the lack of opportunity and the lack of privilege, I want you to know that the hours of working means nothing, because it's better here than what it was back there. Come on. Come on. You're going to have to let me preach here tonight. If we're not careful, we'll get a mentality that says it's easier in the world. It's easier in sin. It's easier out there. I'm telling you, friend, the best day you'll ever have out there won't even compare to the worst day you'll have here. We need a change in our mindset. We need a change in our thinking. I'm going to preach tonight. I feel what I'm saying in the Holy Ghost. Because I'm going to tell you what's happening tonight in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is reaching for some young people that right now you are struggling in your spirit. You are struggling in your heart about living for God and about walking with God. And I'm going to tell you why you're struggling. You've watched your parents as they've come into the church. They've come into the kingdom of God. Amen. They begin to live for God. And amen. You've watched them struggle. You've watched them as they've tried to sort out some things. Don't you understand? No, you don't understand. That's the reason why that you're struggling with your feelings and you're struggling with your decisions is because you don't understand. You don't realize that when people come to God and they got a track record behind them of sin and the world and bad mistakes and poor decisions, there's a lot to live over. There's a lot to get beyond. There's a lot to overcome. Come on now. There's a lot to get past when you come to God. Because just because you got the Holy Ghost don't mean all your problems have been solved and everything's been washed out and everything is all going to be just a rose bed. And you watched as your parents have had to deal, as they've tried to live for God and tried to be right. You watch as they've had to deal with their emotions and their struggles. Because whatever you planted, you're going to reap. Come on now. You take care of the sin issue when you come to the altar. When you come and get the Holy Ghost and you're baptized in Jesus' name, you take care of the sin issue. But you don't take care of all the problems in life. Now, God can help you cope with them, but I'm going to tell you now, friend, there's a whole lot of stuff that you'll always carry and deal with until the last day you live on this earth or until Jesus Christ returns. And you've watched your family struggle. You've watched your mama and your daddy. You've watched life. You've watched the problems, and you're not even realizing in your mind, you're thinking that if this is living for God, I don't want anything to do with it. Don't you understand that the reason they're here is because they realize we're going to hell. We're losing our home. We're losing our family. We're being destroyed, and we've got to have God. I want to tell you something. I can tell you this much tonight about the immigration issue. I'm glad I'm not President Bush. And I'm glad I'm not a member of Congress. I don't know what the answers are. I will tell you this. That there are some people in different countries that all they want is an opportunity. Now listen, I'm not standing here tonight making a political statement. I'm telling you facts. That there are people, I read briefly today in the newspaper about those that are riding bicycles through the arid deserts, and they're facing every conceivable kind of obstacle and problem to get to the land of the free and the home of the brave. Because you see, they're standing on this side of the Rio Grande and they're looking over and they're seeing opportunity. Now, I'm just making a statement about how it is and what's going on. That's not pro or con. I don't have the answers. That's not my job tonight. But I do feel to tell you that there's people standing on the world side that's looking over and they're saying there's got to be something better. Whatever it takes, I'm going to live for God. Whatever it takes, I'm going to be saved. Whatever it takes, I'm not staying where I am. Come on now. And there are people that are looking at the border, and they're seeing guards, and they're seeing guns, and they're seeing everything else to stop them from coming over. But there is something inside of them that says, the opportunity is so great that I am willing to fight the odds. I am willing to overcome the obstacles. All I'm telling you is, we need an attitude. We need a spirit that says, I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what my flesh says. I'm going to have a relationship with God. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. I'm going to tell you that there's folks sitting in homes that are looking at sons. And they're saying, son, it's always been this way. It ain't going to ever change. You're spitting in the wind. You're fighting insurmountable odds. You're going to get killed. You're going to go to jail. Holy. And their son's looking back saying, Mom and Daddy, you can have that mindset if you want. But I want some freedom. And I want some opportunity. Now, I know what I'm saying here tonight. You can take it and construe it. Amen. Let me tell you, I don't have a problem with immigration. I will tell you this. I don't have a problem with immigration. Do it legal. But I am comparing what's going on right now with a spiritual war, a spiritual battle, and a mindset that's telling people this is the way it's always going to be. Come on, a mindset that's trying to settle upon this congregation to say this is the way it's always going to be. You want me to tell you what you've got to get in your spirit? You've got to get an aggressiveness in your spirit that says it don't have to be this way. And it's not going to be this way. And I'm not going to live with this kind of defeatist mentality. I'm not going to live with this mentality that I'm always going to have to do without where God is concerned. I'm moving higher. I'm moving higher. I'm going to have my own revival. I'm going to see God do something in my own spirit. The spirit of a mindset, a wrong paradigm, has always been in Scripture. Jesus came dealing with not first generation Jews or second generation Jews or third generation Jews, but he came preaching to Jews that were generations past the Red Sea, Jordan's River, manna in the wilderness. Huh? Generations past. Shoes that didn't wear out for 40 years. Clothes that didn't wear out for 40 years. Feet that didn't swell for 40 years. Victory after victory. Miracle after miracle. Generations far removed from that. Generations that forgot what the first house looked like. In all of its glory under Solomon. When that second one was built, there were some still around that remembered. But eventually there were those that died out also. Jesus is dealing with generations that were hundreds of years removed from all of that. In fact, he was dealing with a generation of people that had not heard the voice of God for 400 years. Years. 400 years. And he's having to buck that mentality. He's having to deal with that mindset. He's having to deal with that paradigm. You know what they were doing? They were just going through the motions. Huh? They were just bringing a lamb. Here's my lamb. Kill it. Offer the sacrifice so I can go back home and think everything's going to be good for another year. Huh? You know what Jesus came doing? Read it in your Bible. He came preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven. What are you talking about? Kingdom of heaven. Come on, boys, look up. Kingdom of God. Come on, look up. Get your eyes off this world that's around you. Get your eyes off just going through the motions and doing the calisthenics of Judaism and the religion of Judaism. Try looking up. There's something to look at in the heavens. There's a kingdom I'm preaching about. It's a heavenly kingdom. Jesus said, one day he stood up and said, the law and the prophets. And brother, when you touch the law and the prophets with the Jews, when you put your finger on that, you put your finger on their little candy stick, their little world. That they had taken that world and they had so construed it and twisted it to their religion had become nothing more than just mechanics. No relationship with God. No pursuit of God. Just going through the motions. But Jesus came preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he said, the law and the prophets were until John. But since that time, the kingdom of heaven is preached. And every man presses his way into it. Come on, good boys. I got to change your paradigm. I got to change how you think. Kingdom of heaven is preached. Law and prophets were until John. But since that time, the kingdom of heaven is preached. The kingdom of miraculous things. The kingdom of the supernatural. The kingdom of the glory. The kingdom of the anointing. He said, that's preached. And every man, if he gets into it, he's got to get aggressive. He's got to press his way through tradition. He's got to press his way through doubts. He's got to press his way through unbelief. He's got to press his way through what everybody else is saying. If he's going to get into it. You know, I wonder tonight how aggressive we are. Really, how aggressive we are about God and the things of the Spirit. I heard a story a few days ago about a man that he bought a very high-powered telescope for his wife for her birthday. And brought it home, took it up on the roof, set it up, had a top story or a flat deck outside or whatever, high place above the lights and everything. He set the telescope up, took his wife up there. And he said, honey, look what I bought you. Here's your telescope. He said, I've got it trained on some distant stars, some things you've never been able to see just standing out here looking like you like to look at night. I've got it trained on some stars. I'm just bringing them in where you can see them a little more clearly. He said, I hope you enjoy what I gave you. He goes back down in the house. Hour and a half, 2 hours later, he's thinking, well, where she must really be enjoying the telescope. In a few minutes, he hears her coming down the stairs, and she's saying, drying apples. Drying apples. Drying apples. He said, woman, what in the world
are you talking about? She said, our neighbors are drying apples. I've seen them for nights with their lights on late. I've been wondering what they're doing. She said, I found out tonight that they're drying apples. And he's thinking, I gave you a telescope to look in the heavens and see the glories of the heavenlies. And you're worried about your neighbor. You can't get your eyes off of the next door neighbor and what they're doing. You're more worried about what they're doing than what you can see in the heavenlies. Oh, God, help me. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, hallelujah. I got a telescope in my hand tonight. When I look through this, I see some things that I can't see with the natural eye. When I look through this, I see some things that carnality can't show to me. Let me tell you, I don't care what my neighbors are doing. I want to train my spiritual telescope on the heavenlies, on the joys, the blessings of God, and pursue what God has. Pursue the blessings. Pursue the glory. Pursue the anointing. I and apples. I didn't buy you that to look at the neighbors. And I'm wondering what the Lord is thinking sometime. How come you got such a mindset? How come you got such a paradigm that you're more worried about what everybody else is doing than what I can do for you? We need to worry, quit worrying about what a neighbor's doing. Quit training your spiritual telescope on what everybody else is doing. And say, you know what, God? I just think there's something for me up there. You see, when you're looking up there, you don't see much going on around you. It's a mindset. It's a paradigm. It's how you've been conditioned to think. Too many people have got their eyes on the wrong thing. The Lord's given you an opportunity. What an opportunity He has given us tonight. The question is, can we make that shift? You know, I understand that we live in troublesome times, and I understand that there's a tremendous weight on people's shoulders, and I understand that the burden is heavy. There are many people going through a lot of things. Life itself is enough sometimes to get you down. Pull up to the gas tank. I'm sorry, I have to confess. I haven't read the newspaper. Lord, I hadn't read enough newspapers in the past 3 months to make it even worth bringing it home. I think I've read the Sunday paper in the past 3 months. Maybe one or two daily newspapers in the past 3 months. I don't know. It's just been. But I've got to confess, I read the funnies today. Sometimes it's as crazy as a bed bug. Whatever bed bug, however crazy they are. I'm not sure why we use that terminology, but anyway. That woman with that pistol, she's going to kill that car. Can't take the pain no more. $3.75 a gallon. Hallelujah. Sometimes life will get you down. Sometimes pressures of life get pretty heavy.
And sometimes life can so condition us to think that this is the way it has to be. Can I tell you one more time that in His presence there's fullness of joy? Hallelujah. Sometimes we got to take the telescope off of our problems. Quit trying to analyze everything going on in our life and try to figure out why it's happening the way it's happening and turn it toward the heavens and say, God, what is it you want me to see up there? And sometimes you got to take that telescope off of everybody around you. You know, some folks got themselves, they've got their eyesight on people so much that they never get a chance to look up. Wow, look at that. Oh, my Lord, isn't that awesome? Whoo, look over there. Man, this is incredible. Oh, God, this is something. I never seen those rings around Saturn before. Is that what the moon really looks like? I get us a mindset that starts looking toward God. That says, you know, if Jesus said it, I believe it. And it can happen.
I tell you right now, I feel something all over me. I feel like throwing this microphone down and running as hard as I can run.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel something all over this place right now. I feel like that there's some folks that are starting to wake up and realize, you know what? I've been watching folks drying apples too much. Watching folks drying too many apples lately. I've got my telescope turned the wrong direction. I think it's time I tip it up and I start looking in a different world. Come on, does anybody feel that way here tonight? Does anybody understand what I'm trying to communicate to you? God's got some good things for us. All we need to do is start looking for it. Start looking for it. Start looking for it. I've been looking in the heavenlies lately. I'm telling you right now, I've been looking in the heavenlies lately. I've been in the church. I've been in the sanctuary. And I'm not bragging tonight. Please forgive me if it sounds like it. That's not my intent. But I've been around, walking around this sanctuary. I've been looking up in the heavenlies, God. I've been saying, God, I don't care what anybody else is doing. All I want to know is, what do you got for us? Amen. God, what do you got for us? I don't care what anybody else is doing. I want to know what you got for us. What kind of work can you do for us? Oh, my Lord, look up there. There's a revival waiting on us. My Lord, look over there. There's a bright, shining, glory cloud that God wants to bring to the house. Amen. Hadn't rained for 3 long years. It was dry. It was a famine in the land. It was a bad situation. And Elijah's got a servant, and he's on the mountain. He's saying to a servant, go look. Where you want me to look? Well, dummy, the clouds. Are there any clouds in the sky? Don't look at the ground. You're not going to find any proof there. It's dry as cotton. No rain for 3 years. No crops being grown. No harvest. But go look in the heavens. And he came back and said, I don't see a thing. Went again, came back, don't see a thing. Came back 7 times. And he said, I want you to go back one more time. He went back now and he came back and said, I see a cloud. Amen. Likened unto a man's hand. I see something in the heavens. Come on. I'm going to tell you now. If you look in the heavens long enough, you'll see something coming your way. If you look in the heavens long enough, you'll see something coming your way. I shook hands with Brother Jimmy Potts out there on the foyer tonight, outside the foyer. And as I looked down, he had an umbrella in his hand.
All right, yeah.
I said, now that's the kind of man I like right there. He's got faith. He come to church with an umbrella in his hand. No, he wasn't going to put it up in church. Amen. But he had faith. His mind was on the fact it just might rain. Hallelujah. It just might rain. I might need this. There's a possibility. You got to come to a point, friend, where you bring your umbrella, where you make up in your mind, if I keep looking the heavenlies long enough, I might just get something coming my way that I need from God. Now we're ready. Hallelujah. Y'all didn't see that. Woo! I need some musicians. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, you need to bring your umbrella. You need to bring something with you that says, I've come with faith in my heart. Amen. It ain't rained in a long time, but I'm not looking at the ground and how dry it is. I'm looking in the heavens where the rain comes from. Come on, get your eyes off of drying apples, neighbors. That ain't gonna help you a bit. Get your eyes off of what they're doing. Get your eyes off of everything going on. And get your eyes on the heavenlies. Jesus has got something on the way. Brother Kazner had a song tonight. Chosen had the first verse. I don't want to sing it. Don't even bother to sing that. Just leave it alone. Now we're going to sing it. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. And you know what that song says? I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised he would open up the heavens. And brother, it could be that very day when God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus. And they look to heaven expecting as they pray. And they look to heaven expecting as they pray. Come on, what do you want? Dried apples or a Holy Ghost revival? What do you want? Dried apples or the miraculous? What do you want? Dried apples or God doing a mighty work in your life? Come on, somebody should get aggressive here tonight. Kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I'm going to take some things by force tonight.